Gord, the Red Blacks 2-0. City is excited, considering they only won two games all of last season. So obviously off to a much better start, and the team has some confidence. When you look at their start, do you feel like, are they deserving of that record? Have they played as well as their record says?
Well, they played better than the Arrowheads, and they played better than the Lions, so yes. I mean, would they have beaten the Hamilton Tiger Cats at this point? Maybe, maybe not, but they deserve to win those two games for sure.
Gord, the interesting thing for me is you've got a Red Blacks team feeling good after a win but coming off a short week, and you've got a team that's really disappointed in their opening effort and the result, obviously, waiting on them. Sort of a conflicting dynamics here. What do you expect when the opening kickoff takes place?
Well, the Red Blacks are reasonably healthy for a team on a short week. I mean, there's only two changes for tonight. Justin Capicotti is not playing, and they expect that Jonathan Williams will start on the defensive line in place of Moten Hopkins. But health-wise, it's not bad. I mean, they're a little banged up, a little sore probably, but decent shape. I think they have a bit of an advantage in that they've played within the last 2 weeks. I mean, if I'm the Eskimos, I would love to have that practice time, but the Red Blacks, last year had the opening week bye, and I'm not sure that helped. I think they had extra time to get ready, but it didn't look great. They had 12 days before the first game this year against Montreal, because they played the first game of the preseason, and it took them a while to get it going. I think, as long as they do what they're supposed to and as long as they stay healthy, I think they should look at this as an opportunity.
Gord, I was reading a few of the early season analysis on the Red Blacks and listening.
I hope they were mine.
Yeah, I did read one of yours, and I was listening to TSN in Ottawa, and people are saying that Henry Burris, he's got four touchdown passes, but four interceptions, and that he might be one of the concerns is kind of his erratic play through two games.
Well, two of those interceptions weren't his fault. I mean, he hit the receivers in the hands. So, he made two bad throws in Montreal, but the other two, he hit the receiver in the hands, and it was tipped up in the air, and somebody else picked it off. I think Henry's playing with a lot more confidence than he had last year. He would never say it last year, but it looks like he's a little more willing to cut it loose this year. And I think the team believes that he's, he wasn't the problem last year. I mean, they fired the offensive coordinator and they brought in five new receivers. So they obviously thought that Henry could still do it.
And Jason Moss, obviously we know in Edmonton for a long time, and I remember talking to Moss a few years ago when there was some OC vacancies, and he said, I'm just not ready yet. And he took a few more years to learn under Milanovic. And I know it's only two games, but I talked to Henry about Jason Moss as an OC, and, man, he raved about him. What do you feel, the biggest change in Moss's play calling from last year for the Red Blacks? What's the most obvious difference you see?
The most obvious difference so far is that they run the ball 60 times. Now, they've had leads in both games, so they could afford to do that. And they've managed to run the ball well enough to hang on to it. The signal to me that things were different was the last drive of the game in Montreal. They were on their 5-yard line. They threw the ball three times in the first five plays, but they also ran the ball like nine times. And that they decided to do that and that they were able to do that are two things that we didn't see last year.
Gord, you look at the numbers, Burris, like you say, he puts the ball in the end zone. He also puts it in the DB's hands sometimes. Like you said, a couple weren't his fault. Guy like Sinopoli's off to a fast start. He's got some weapons to choose from. This is a revamped receiver core and short sample size, but looks pretty good so far.
Well, as I said earlier, I think Henry trusts these guys more. Maurice Price tipped one into the hands of Elmimian last week, and the week before it was Ernest Jackson. But these guys have also made plays. Brad Sinopoli played very well. He didn't play at all in the preseason, so we weren't 100% sure what we were going to get from him once he played in the first game. But he's done everything they expected of him and more. Everybody else has done what they need to do. Chris Williams so far has been worth exactly what they're paying him. It's a different team. They don't panic when things go wrong, and they seem to believe that if they just keep doing things, eventually things will get done. And that's I don't know if you can call it belief. I don't know if you can call it confidence. Maybe you can call it both of those and other things. It looks like a different Red Blacks team than the one that won only 218 games last year.
Gord Holder from the Ottawa Citizen joins us. Gord, they made significant changes on the offensive side of the ball with the receivers and the offensive coordinator. The defense improved in your mind? And Capocotti, how big of a loss will that be?
Well, it won't help, but, he's got one sack so far. They've got four as a team. He's got one of them. He got a lot of his double-digit sacks last year because he was always in the right place. And he stayed home, and the quarterback ran into his arms. That's oversimplifying it, but basically he was always in the right place, and so he was able to take advantage of the sack opportunities. Will it hurt? It would help to have him around, but I think they have pretty good depth on the defensive line. The depth chart right now has nine names on it. Now, by the time the game starts tonight, they'll probably make one of those nine one of their roster deletions for this game, but they'll still have eight. And they've managed to Montreal was down to its third quarterback by the end of the game, mm-hmm. and BC looked like a team that hadn't played in the first week. But they did what they had to do. And, the turning point in the BC game, was not an offensive thing. It was on defense. The Lions were twice inside the 10-yard line, and all they got out of it was two field goals. And, in the fourth quarter, when there was still some slim hope that the Lions could come back, the Red Blacks stopped Andrew Harris on third and one. I'm not worried about the defense, assuming everybody stays healthy. I think, they will do what they need to do. And the other thing that's happened is, they've held the ball. They've had the ball for 35 minutes on average in the first two games. So the defense isn't out there nearly as much as it was last year. And so they can put some pressure on. They can play hard. They can play fast, because they're not out there for 33 minutes.
Gord, the coaches and the players aren't going to tell the public and the beat guys and announce it going into the game, put it up on the whiteboard. But I'd be stunned if this defense doesn't try and get after Matt Nichols as much as they can. He doesn't often beat you or create offense with his legs the way Mike Riley can. And if you can chase him down, you can make his life pretty miserable. How do you see it any differently?
I think they might try that, but I think what they're going to try first is to see how much pressure they can get with four guys. If they can get pressure with four guys, they don't need to bring a lot of extra blitzers, and then they can leave their eight guys, downfield and try to make the tackles. Two or three times in the BC game last week, they ran an interesting formation, I'll call it. It was on second and long. They rushed three guys. They had one linebacker who may or may not have blitzed, and they lined up eight guys, eight pass defenders at the first down line. And it was basically, okay, if you get the ball off, great, but we've got eight tacklers in position to stop this guy from getting the first down. And it was an interesting formation, and it worked every time. So you might see that again tonight. You know, if they can hold the Eskimos in the second and long, you might actually see that.
Gord, I do want one last one about Ottawa and just the feel for this team, because I know everybody said they could not have Renegades 2.0. And I know that, you know, different ownership for sure, that in itself was going to be better. But it's year number two now. No one was expecting them to dominate last year. It's an expansion team, and in no league do they. But they look like they're going to be much more competitive this year. Are football fans... with each passing day, maybe forgetting about the laughing stock that were the Rough Riders and the Renegades, and focusing solely on what looks like a good organization in the Red Blacks?
Well, there are a few factors in play. One, I thought they should have won five, six, seven games last year. They had to be really innovative in finding ways to give games away. that said, they've made some significant changes. There is a huge expectation that they will be better. They've said they expect to be contending for a playoff spot this year, so they're going to have to get up to 7, 8, 9 wins just to do that. The other thing that's happened, I mean, their season tickets sold dropped a little bit. They were at 17,000. They're about 15,500 now. That's not surprising going from year one to year two. They may not sell out all their games this year, but they still will do very well. And the other thing that people who aren't in Ottawa won't realize is that last year, the stadium was basically inside a construction zone. So now all the retail and restaurants and everything else that's in the area that was supposed to be in the area is basically ready to go. And so the people of Ottawa, if they want to, they can go down there in the afternoon and they can go to a gym, they can go to a movie, and they can, you know, then have dinner there. It's not just a stadium and a bus ride to get there. So there's a little bit more, you know, involved, and that's what the people who are the company that owns the Red Blacks is counting on. They want to get people down there. They want them to spend some money. So that's all part of this. But yeah, the football team has to be more successful on the field than it was last year. You know, people gave them a pass for one year. They're not going to do it for two.
Well, Gord, if if the Red Blacks win tonight, they've improved on last year already, and those wins are in the bank. And while your fate can be decided after Labor Day, once you've got them, nobody can take them away.
Well, if they win tonight, it'll be a momentous occasion, because the last time an Ottawa football team won a game in Edmonton, J.C. Watts was the quarterback.
Pete Catella got him fired in 1983. So the Eskimos, they come in, and if you're Ottawa and you look at Matt Nichols, we got to think Ottawa is going to be bringing a lot of pressure, especially because Edmonton hasn't had a consistent running attack in quite some time. And you got to think, go after Nichols as much as you can. You talked about Capicotti and them dressing so many guys. Are they a team, though, that blitzes from the front, or do they come with secondary and linebacker blitzes?
A little of both. I've seen a little of both. They may vary it according to the team, the opponent that they're facing. One of the most frequent blitzes, if you will, is Antoine Pruneau, the linebacker.
Okay.
But he's not the only one. Don't forget, it was Abdul Kane, a defensive halfback. He was the guy who knocked Dan Lefebvre out of the game in Montreal on a blitz. So, it could be not. You know, I still think that at the very start of the game, they're probably just going to rely on four guys to see where that gets them. If they have to change their minds, they will. They do have to factor in. I mean, Adarius Bowman hurt them badly in the two games last year. They've got to have some help back there, because I think they properly should be, you know, aware of where he is on the field. They may try not to blitz at the start if they can get away with it. If they can't, they will. But I think their initial preference would be not to bring extra pressure so that they can leave enough help downfield.
Gord, we appreciate the rundown. We'll see you at the stadium. Could be a record-breaking night temperature-wise in Edmonton.
Thanks for that.